Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Palm Sunday King. The sermon this morning is based on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Let's begin with prayer. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever heard of a man named Derek Redmond? Derek Redmond was the British 400-meter record holder when he was only 19 years old. He qualified for the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, Korea, but just moments before what would have been the biggest race of his life, the opening heat, his Achilles tendon gave out, and Derek was forced to withdraw from the race. It was devastating, but he didn't give up. Over the next 4 years, Derek would undergo 5 different surgeries. He would train tirelessly, and he earned a spot at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. And here, Derek not only got to run the qualifying heat, but he posted the fastest time of any 400-meter dash runner. He went on to win his quarterfinal easily, and he was running well in his semifinal race, a shoo-in for the finals, when it happened. About 250 meters from the finish line, he heard a loud pop, and this time it was his hamstring. It had torn. He hobbled for a little while and ended up falling down in pain. His father was in the stands that day, and when he saw his son go down, he knew exactly what had happened. He raced down through the stands. He actually climbed over the railing and had to outrun a few security guards to reach his son on the track. The other runners had already passed him by long ago. The stretcher bearers had made their way out to Derek, but Derek had waved him off. He wanted to finish. And his dad picked him up and put his arm around him and helped him bear his weight so that Derek could finish the race. And even though they had to wave off a few of those race officials who wanted him to get off the track, and even though Derek was sobbing from a mixture of pain and disappointment, he did cross the finish line that day. And a crowd of 65,000 gave him a standing ovation. Even though the race didn't go the way he wanted, Derek still finished strong. You know, in life, there are times where things don't go the way we want. But that doesn't mean we can't still finish strong. Do you ever have trouble believing that sentence? I'm guessing the first part isn't too hard to believe, right? The things don't go as planned, but believing you can still finish strong, sometimes difficult. It's pretty easy to realize that things always don't go the way you want. Maybe for you it's been a job. You didn't get something that you thought you deserved. Maybe the career choice that you've kind of been pushed into wasn't the one you really wanted. And maybe you even got the job that you've been longing for, but it's more stressful than you could ever imagine. Maybe things happened in your family which has made it very difficult to see yourself finishing strong. Maybe it's a relationship that you thought was going to satisfy you, but right now you feel anything but satisfied. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a mental illness that leaves you feeling a little bit hobbled yourself. When these things happen, do you still believe that you can finish strong? You know, it reminds me a little bit of Palm Sunday. You know, if you were one of Jesus' 12 disciples, do you think Palm Sunday would have been a day that went well? I mean, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people, they strip the palm trees, and they wave the branches. They put their clothes down on the ground just so his donkey can walk over them. You know, it's just this wonderful celebration for Jesus, and really one that he deserved far more than the people knew. If you were a disciple, I imagine it would have been just an amazing moment to see the man that you've put your faith in for 3 years validated as the king you know he is. It should have been the perfect day. It should have been. Do you know what happened right after this great celebration for Jesus? It happened just after our gospel text. It says that Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he began to weep. Jesus began to cry. because he knew that many in this city would reject him. And he knew that some of those people who said, "Hosanna to the Son of David," on Sunday would be saying, "Crucify him," on Friday. I don't think that day went just how the disciples thought it would. But it's in this moment, my friends, that we find our greatest encouragement to finish strong. You know, Jesus said that this city didn't understand what would bring them peace. Not eternal peace, not lasting peace, real peace. But Jesus did. It's the whole reason he came. It's the whole reason he continued. It's the whole reason he finished strong that week. And Jesus believes that you can finish strong too. He believes you will. My friends, today we're going to look at the letter to the Hebrews, specifically chapter 12. And there we are going to find three great encouragements for us as we seek not only to run our races of life, but to finish strong, just like our Savior. We're going to begin with verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." My friends, did you know you're running a race right now? We are in a race. Sometimes it's easy to forget that. Sometimes we may think we are in a race just because of how busy we are and where we got to get going, but this is talking about life itself. The life we live in faith is supposed to be a race. We are running, God says. As it turns out, Christians aren't supposed to just hunker down and hold on tight until they one day enter heaven. God asks us to run, to persevere. It matters to God how we progress in faith and how we mature as Christians. My friends, do you think about the fact that God has a race marked out for you? There are no coincidences. The course has been set, and he has asked you in faith to run, to strive and to grow and to mature, to run the race of faith with perseverance. And the first encouragement that we have in this pursuit of running in this verse is it says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 12 is followed, unsurprisingly, is preceded, unsurprisingly, by Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Heroes of Faith chapter. And these are the witnesses, some of the witnesses that Paul is referring to. The Heroes of Faith is a chapter about a bunch of men and women who, in order to finish strong, were willing to run through anything this world threw at them. Just listen to some of these witnesses who surround us. It says that they were tortured. They faced jeers and flogging. They were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Think of the prophet Isaiah. They were persecuted. They were mistreated and destitute. They were thrown to the lions. Think of Daniel. Tossed into flames like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Doesn't sound like things went exactly as they had planned. But God had something better in mind for them. As the chapter concludes, we hear these words. It says, "The world was not worthy of them." They didn't belong here. They were passing through on their race. My friends, as we run our races, we are surrounded by these witnesses. In fact, there are many witnesses, even in our own church, who have already crossed the finish line. There are witnesses, not that there's some sort of wandering spirits that are around us or that they are necessarily looking down from heaven, but their example of faithfulness that is set before us encourages us as we run our race. I think of some of the witnesses in my own life. I think of dear Donna Hansen, who recently passed away from our congregation. I think of Pastor Trapp, who recently finished his race in heaven. I think of my grandfather, Robert, preaching in a small town in Minnesota back when they still had him preach in German. I think of the Apostle Paul sailing to distant lands to share the gospel. I think of of Moses standing before Pharaoh, these witnesses encouraged me to run my race of faith. What witnesses can you think of in your life? Maybe it's your mother or your father, your grandmother or your grandpa. Maybe it's a dear friend now departed. Friends, as you run your race, remember that you step in their footsteps. The example of their faithfulness set before you will encourage you to run your race with perseverance, to stay to the course God has set you on, and one day to finish strong. That's our first encouragement. The second encouragement we are given is to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Basically, that we are not to let anything slow us down as we run. And the first of those is that everything that hinders needs to get thrown off the track. And the word for hinders here, or hindrance in the Greek, doesn't necessarily have any negative connotation to it. In other words, it doesn't mean sinful things. This is an important distinction, because sometimes I think people think of the living as a Christian as you think of, is something right or is something wrong, and then you choose to do what is right. You know, you choose not to sin. But there's a lot more to think about, isn't there? Paul is talking about things that can be good in and of themselves, but can become hindrances to our progress in faith nonetheless. And I wish I would have realized this distinction when I was younger. And I think right now I'm going to talk specifically to those of you who are younger. Yes, younger than me. When you think about your movies or your social sites, your apps, when you think about your music, whatever YouTubers or influencers you follow, don't just ask, is this a sin or not? Ask, does this help me run for Jesus? Is this encouraging me in my faith, or is it in the way? When you think about your schools that you're going to be going into, when you think about the hours you spend in sports, does this help me run for Jesus, or is it in the way? When you think about a relationship that you're about to get in, don't just ask, will they treat me well? Don't just ask, do they like me? Ask yourself, is this person going to encourage me in faith? Are they going to support me in purity? Are they going to help me maintain self-control? Are they going to help me run for Jesus? Or are they a little bit in the way? This question is really for all of us, isn't it? Right? Let's be courageous about deciding what stays and what goes so that we can run for Jesus. The second thing that can slow the runner of faith down is the sin that so easily entangles. And this specific type of sin here isn't the brick wall in front of us. You know, it's not the obvious type of sin that we need to keep in check for our reputation's sake. It's the entangling type of sin, the subtle type of sin, the type of sin that no one else knows about, or at least would never call us out on. It's those pet sins that we take care of, that we make excuses for, the ones that we repent of but have such difficulty avoiding. These type of sins, Paul says, the writer to the Hebrews, excuse me, says, wraps around our legs as we run. And after a while, we won't just slow us down, it will stop our progress completely. I remember a professor at the seminary told us one day that there can be no growth in faith simultaneously with conscious sin. You cannot grow in faith at the same time that you are willfully sinning. We need to throw off, right, rip off these entangling sins so that we can run for Jesus. And I think a runner's perspective here, that the writer really gives us this runner's perspective, sharpens this point, right? I want you to imagine that someone put a large stone in the middle of somebody's lane at a track meet. That is just preposterous to even say that, isn't it? The runners would protest. No one would allow the race to run unless that hindrance were removed, right? If a sprinter lines up in his blocks and his shoelaces are tied together, he's not going to do very well, right? He needs to untie himself, right? We need to get rid of these hindrances. We need to untangle ourselves from these sins in order to run for Jesus, in order to finish strong. Maybe that means for you getting an accountability partner. Maybe it means talking to a pastor in private. But whatever it includes, it must be based on the fact that your Savior has freed you from sin. He has forgiven you, and through His Spirit, you can break free of these sins. And in confidence, you can run with perseverance. That's number two. The third and final encouragement we receive is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The third and most important thing to do while you're running your race of faith is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, he knew what was coming. He knew what awaited him at the end of the week. And it wasn't the cheers of a stadium full of people yelling for him to run on to victory. It was the insults and jeers of people as he was nailed to a cross. It wasn't the pop of a hamstring tear. It was the sound of hammers nailing spikes into his hands and feet. It wasn't a gold medal. It was a crown of thorns as he hung naked and shamed in front of everybody who passed by. And yet, what do we hear in our text? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. You know what that joy was? The joy of welcoming you and me into heaven one day. He thought that welcoming us into his glorious eternity was worth infinitely more than the horror he would endure. And so, scorning that shame, he endured the cross and finished strong so that we can be with him one day, so that we can run our race of faith. And it is for that same incomparable joy of being with him in heaven that we have the power to run. My friends, Jesus is called the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is the pioneer because through his perfect life and his sacrificial death, he has blazed a way to heaven. A narrow lane has been forged from our world to his Father's heavenly kingdom. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the pioneer because without Jesus, you won't even have a track to run on in faith. And he's also the perfecter. And this word perfecter has the idea of completeness that comes with it. Right? We might say we've put on the finishing touches. It is perfect. It is complete. In fact, the old King James Version doesn't even say perfecter. It says the finisher. In terms of the race, Jesus is the one who helps us finish. Because he didn't just die on Friday. On Sunday, he rose from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus not only forgives our sins, he shows us our victory. He went up to heaven, and he says, because I live, you will live. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. My friends, do you know who Quincy Watts is? Like Derek Redmond, Quincy Watts also competed in the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. Like Derek Redmond, Quincy Watts also ran the 400-meter race. Unlike Derek Redmond, Quincy Watts was the man who went away with the gold medal that year. But you know what? Nobody remembers Quincy Watts. All they remember is that act of love that allowed a tired and broken man to finish his race. When we are tired and when we are broken at all times, we are told to do the same thing. It's the final verse of our text today. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. No matter where you're at in your race this morning, fix your eyes on Jesus, our Palm Sunday King. God has a race marked out specifically for you. Let's run with perseverance. And remember that even if you fall, Jesus will be there to pick you up, bear you on his shoulders. Jesus finished strong. You will finish strong.